Hey everybody, and welcome back to a special edition of Brains, Bibles, and Beyond.
Yeah.
I'm here with my co-host, Joel Willoughby, and I am Nate Day. And today we are on location at Solid Rock Christian Camp.
It's the place of action.
The place. This is the place. So without further ado, everybody grab your theological receptacle, and let's get started. So we are here at Solid Rock Christian Camp doing doing camp this year, and I am the director of Solid Rock as part of Think That Christ Ministries, and Joel Willoughby, of course, is Brains and Bibles, and he is our speaker this week at camp.
It's a lot of fun.
So we have junior week going on this week, and so far it's been good. Day one in, well, almost in the books.
Yeah, technically you have a few more minutes here until midnight. So
you guys won't actually see this till after camp is over, but
right. We
are doing a special recording here at camp.
So by then it would hit the national headlines.
Yeah.
Probably.
You'll probably read about this in the paper,
hopefully
positively.
That happens. Yeah, that's
time
okay.
To time. So anyway.
Good thing we announced our names too, because they probably wouldn't recognize us.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't know who you were.
We're in disguise.
We are in disguise.
This is camp stuff.
This is camp stuff. So yeah, you got a sword.
You get to wield a sword.
Yes.
Pulled it out of a stone. I was the chosen one.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about that. Yeah. They said bring the sword of the Lord, and I thought, well, this will do.
How about just a sword?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you got something else over here.
Oh yes, right.
What's this blowgun?
Yeah, this one is not just a toy for children here. It's a toy for a man. And this is my handy dandy blowgun. And so yeah, these cool needles here. So what I was gonna do is we have archery.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you load them up. I'm not gonna shoot it here because it'll destroy something, but
stick it into the wall.
Yeah, you load it up there, you pop it through, and
now do you inhale super hard after you?
You can,
or
because
you blow.
It has a safety thing. You have to actually push this through.
What?
And then so you can blow in.
So you suck it into your own lung.
You can breathe as hard as you want. It's not coming through.
Well, that's kind of,
and this thing's hard. I can just go, and it goes. It'll stay. If I shot it right in that wood there, it'd be very difficult to get it out. You want to see?
I can't do.
It won't damage it too. It's a small needle.
I can't get it to you, actually. Holy cow!
It's like a rocket. This thing's a really good one. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So,
it's fun. Kids love it.
So you have a blowgun. We don't actually do blowguns at camp, although
now we should.
Maybe in the future. You never
know. You should sanitary wipe or something, between, and it'd be fine.
We have to figure a way to put it. Everybody has their own mouthpiece, maybe.
Like a mouth guard thing. Yeah.
I actually have a paintball blowgun that the mouth guard's replaceable, but but you have a blowgun.
Yes.
Not sure why, because I mean, you walk into the store and you're like, that's a blowgun. It looks kind of cool, right?
I remember shooting one when I was a kid. I was 12, 13, probably about 13. It was Alabama, so there's different rules. And I was hanging out with a friend, they have 300 guns. Like, by the time you're 7, you have 50 yourself, And they just happen to have this blowgun, and I remember using it there. I thought, this is the most fun thing ever. And so I saw it in the store, and it was, pretty affordable, actually. And so I just got it.
So, I mean, who doesn't need a blowgun?
Right.
The problem is, you don't always have great occasion to use it. So camp's a good spot to bring a blowgun, just in case.
Yes. You have to create the occasions.
Just in case you find an opportunity. I think archery range would be great. Great place for blowguns.
It would be good.
So,
well, let's talk a little bit about camp in general first. I think, I love camp. Obviously, you very much love camp.
Yes.
The proof is in the pudding there. But I think I've heard a lot of negative things about Christian camps in general.
There's some stereotypes out there.
Yeah. So I thought let's address a couple of those things.
Okay.
So one, there's the idea that, you read through the New Testament to see how we should be living today.
Sure.
Mainly. Obviously, there's Old Testament stuff too. So you can just say the whole Bible. You just look the whole Bible.
Read the Bible.
Yeah. Principles and commands and everything else, examples. you don't see any summer camp. You don't see any kind of camp type thing. And so what's going on here? It's taking away from the church. It's the main show. There's no reason to have camp. What kind of pushback on that idea?
I don't know if I agree with that, first of all.
Oh, really?
Oh, I mean, Abraham, he lived in a tent. He camped all the time.
Yeah, it was intense.
Of course he didn't go to summer camp. He was at camp.
Yeah.
He lived at camp. So, I mean,
they just say sojourning, right? But it's camping.
He was camping. He had himself a tent.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, of course they didn't go to camp. They lived it. No, but seriously, yeah. Obviously, that's not a very good argument.
Right. But it's
okay, so, yeah. So, I don't see a Bible camp in the Bible anywhere.
Right. So then, what's the reasoning? Yeah.
Yeah, why?
What is it, how is it contributing without compromise kind of an idea? Should we do something?
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking yourself the question.
Since you're the director, I want to hear. And by the way, audience, we would be, him and I are in cahoots here. We're in cahoots. That means we agree about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless we maybe we don't about something.
Well, you came and spoke at the camp, so I must not be against it.
But about something, there might be some detail here that comes
up.
So we can only hope.
I mean, so camp is just another tool that we can use to reach people, right? No different than handing out a track. Like, there's no gospel tracks in the Bible. Well, that's not technically true. Nebuchadnezzar kind of wrote one, right?
The proclamation to all the world.
That's really the first gospel track. Although they didn't call it that, they called it the proclamation.
You could say that
he had his testimony in there, and
yeah, and maybe then, Moses wrote the first gospel tract, the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible. It's the gospel's there.
You can say that.
Yeah,
but either way, it's another tool that we can use to reach people.
Right.
And in today's world, with so many distractions. Everybody's always going 100 miles an hour. Everybody has all these activities. Everybody's always attached to electronics. The camp environment gets you away from all of that. Mm. You get away from the noise of the world. You get away from the distractions. You get away from your cell phone. You get away from just all the little things that aren't necessarily bad, but they can just be noise in your life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons the camp environment can be so effective. You get away from all that. And then on top of it, You hear the preaching of the Word of God multiple times a day. You have...
It's that saturation.
You have set aside time for quiet, personal, devotional time. At our camp, we do a Bible study book that the kids work through. Most camps have some form of that.
Right. A lot of scripture memory.
A lot of scripture memory.
You have points, that's incentive there.
Yeah.
So they do it for points, but then it's sticking with them.
Yeah.
The Word of God is effective.
The Word of God can never be bad to learn.
Right.
And so there's it creates an environment that that eliminates noise and saturates you with the Word of God. So it can be a very effective tool, not necessarily the best tool to reach every single person on earth.
Sure.
But there are certain people, especially in an American setting, where we have a lot of that noise, and so you get away from everything. You're out in nature. You get to enjoy God's creation, and on top of that, it's a really good fun time. Mm-hmm. So it is just another tool. Maybe not the tool that reached you, but it is a tool that reached a lot of people. And
it's a unique opportunity.
It is.
For kids to come in and they grow in faith while having a blast.
Yeah.
And so now here's the pushback, I think, is when people would say, you know what, though? What I see is that camps are kind of replacing the church, and that's kind of the church for people. They come to camps, that's where they grow, that's where they have their stuff, but it's only for like a week. And then they go away, and then that's it. And then there's like this...
They're on the spiritual high.
Yeah, spiritual high that comes down, crashes.
I can get that.
Yeah, so what would you say to that crowd?
A couple things. Okay. One is, it's not the camp's fault that the local church isn't doing their job.
Whoa.
Right.
Okay.
So if people go home and aren't fed spiritually, that's not the camp's fault.
Right.
Now, the camp is just an extension of what the local church does, though.
Yeah.
We are members of local churches. Mm-hmm. I am, you are. our staff is, you know, mm-hmm. I think primarily. I mean, I guess I don't know if everyone has actually signed membership papers, but yeah, they go to local churches. We all attend local churches. We believe in the local church. We're involved in our local churches. And this is just a tool we have in our arsenal to reach people. And when they go home, they need to get plugged into local churches,
yeah.
You know. And if they're going home and not being fed by the local church, that's not the camp's fault. I mean, that's really the local church. It's their church's fault. And
we would support stuff. They would support that. You know, we want pastoral leadership. We want them to be discipled in a church.
Absolutely.
We want them to, you know, at the right age, you know, be pursuing membership and things like that. So you have that accountability. You can fulfill the one another's in Scripture and all that. We want that. We push for that. And
yes.
We, you know, get churches involved and things.
I mean, that's one of the things we encourage highly at camp, right?
Yeah,
is
right.
To go
right.
home and serve God and be involved in your church. I mean, that's part of the reason we do camp.
Talk to your family. You know, tell them what's going on and, you know, try to get them involved. You know, at least more or, you know, whatever.
Now, in fact, Solid Rock Camp, which is a part of a thing that Christ Ministries, we founded the camp for the purpose of training young people how to serve God. So we didn't actually found the camp for the purpose of reaching the campers. All of that is part of having a camp.
Yeah.
But the reason we actually started the camp originally is we wanted to give young people an opportunity to come serve and serve where they were gifted.
Which is a unique purpose for a camp.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
So one thing that's great about the camping ministry is it doesn't matter what your gift is, there's a place for you here. Mm. So if you're gifted at speaking, hey, guess what? We have speakers at camp. You know, if you're good at being counseling, you know, we have counselors. If you're good at sweeping floors, we have floor sweepers. You know, we have staff that does the whole area.
Back in the kitchen.
We have the kitchen. We have maintenance. We have music. We have everything. It doesn't matter what your gift is. You come to me and say, I have this gift that God has given me, and I want to learn how to use it better. Mm-hmm. Come talk to me. We have a spot for your camp.
Or I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so you come to a place like this, you serve in a bunch of areas,
yeah.
and you figure it out.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And in a small camp like this, whatever position you have, you're going to fill a few other positions because, you know, you need to be flexible. And that's one of the benefits of the camp ministry as well, is it does teach you flexibility. So, you know, I think this is a very awesome place to use the gifts God has given you and really grow in your faith and learn to serve. In a controlled environment where you have adult leaders investing into you, mentoring you the whole time along the way. So,
yes.
And so that's kind of why we started our camp originally. Now, obviously, we want to do camp well, and part of doing camp is reaching the campers, which, you know, then becomes a ministry. And us together with our teenage staff who are coming in helping, and our young college students who are counseling and ministering to these kids who come in, this is a great opportunity.
Yeah. What would you say about the? I want to hear both pros and cons to the kids getting on like this spiritual high while they're here. But
sure.
And it's kind of a thing. It's almost expected to happen because we have taken away all the distractions. We have saturated them with the Word of God. We're, you know, memorizing it. They're listening to preaching and teaching. They have the devotional time. They have counselors that are constantly pointing them to Christ and things. You know, people that will pray with them, and there's prayer around them, and all these things are happening over and over and over. So we expect there to be some kind of a boost there, right?
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about the pros and cons of that.
So, yeah, so there's always been kind of this stigma that you have like a spiritual high at camp, you go home and you have a crash, or in some cases there is, you know, emotional decisions made.
Yes, right.
And it's true.
So then it's not so much a spiritual high as it is an emotional high. Yeah, yeah.
And that's not exclusive to camp. There's a lot of churches that do that, you know. So that's not exclusive to camp, but it is a danger. And we as Christians need to be aware of that and avoid it.
Yeah.
And in the camping ministry, it can lend to that. And when you make decisions for God, they are emotional. Like you have emotional reactions to a decision. Some people can be doing it because of their emotion, though, and not because they're actually getting right with God. And so it is a danger. So like for here, for us, you know, we don't do altar calls at every single message. We don't drag them out. You know, we'll do a couple a week.
Right.
And the brief, like we give kids an opportunity to respond to God's word, and then it's done. Like, you know, and the counselors are working with the kids all week long, and that's where most of the counseling is going to happen. But you know, when you have an Indian New Service and the gospel is brought forth, we want to give the kids an opportunity to accept Jesus. We're not going to drag that all on online. No, you know, we'll do a song and we end it. And if the Holy Spirit's working, he's working. And if the kid responds, that's fantastic. We can't be the Holy Spirit. And that's where a lot of camps run into trouble. They try to be the Holy Spirit. You know, they try to force the kids. Well, if we sing Just As I Am for the 37th time, maybe the kid will finally come forward. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can manipulate everybody into making decisions. And by the way, that's not just camps. I mean, churches do that as well. I mean, I've been to church services like that.
But
the camps do have that stigma a bit. Mm-hmm. So
it's true. What I do as a speaker, when I come to places, what I like to do is when I can see it happening, I read faces. Mm-hmm. You know, not to pick on things, but it is more of, you'll see more of the females of the group, you know, that because they're more emotionally in tune.
Sure.
And so just being aware of that. And so I will, I does actually one place it was getting a little bit, I'd say, out of control. There was things I wasn't in control of, I'll just say that. And I thought was leading, it was attributing to the emotional response. And so I was allowed to have kind of the last word. This is at the end of the week. And so I got there and I went kind of monotone on purpose. And I just laid it on the line that this is, you know, we are focusing on Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And we want to make sure that we are, you know, thinking through this and, you know, thinking through scripture. And I, you know, I reminded them some scripture passages that we had talked about through the week. And, you know, I don't want you to make only an emotional decision. You know, your decision will come with emotion, like you said, but not only an emotional decision.
Yes, very
dangerous. And I would emphasize that when you have all this excitement, use that to develop habits. And so when you are just on fire for the Lord, because if you have this great saturation, then use that, because you're going to go to a place where you are back to being unsaturated so much. And so you have that time in the Word, you have time in prayer, you're talking to people about Christ, the gospel, you're making disciples. So then that way you can form habits through this time. So when it goes down back to normal, because it's always going to be like this, you know, and you can't stay up here. That's just not realistic. And so when it goes back down to normal, then you already have habits in place and you can be effective. And so I try to, you know, kind of, I saw some people kind of get it together. There were still a few people having a moment in the corner, but, people mostly got it together and, you know, what can you do? You can only do so much. But the fact is that we're not promoting that. That's a definite difference.
Yeah. We would never promote emotional decisions here. And some decisions will be based on emotion, nothing we can do about it. Of course that you're talking about another camp, right?
Yes. Well, I won't even say a state or anything.
No. Yeah, we don't.
There's only so many I've gone to.
And it happens, you know. You know, and I've seen it. And we here are strongly on guard again. And honestly, most of the camps and the people I know that work at camps, they are aware of this thing as well. And most of them are, wouldn't be agreement and try to do it the same way. Where, like, you know, we don't want a bunch of emotional decisions where the kids are going to go home and just not follow them because they were manipulated into it by their emotions to make some type of profession that they didn't really believe and wasn't really a heart change. And none of us want that, right?
Correct.
So at least most of the people that I know that do camp. Now, I know there are plenty out there that still do. So the other thing is, like, you know, camps get the, you know, the spiritual high thing. And, you know, you are saturated with God's word at camp, and you are away from the distractions. And the thing is, though, God is always speaking to us, right? And we're not always listening. And when we get into a camp environment with the distractions being ripped away, you finally can start to hear what God's been trying to tell you. And it does lend towards, you know, people making decisions. and that's not necessarily an emotional thing or a bad thing. That's a good thing. That because God's word is finally being heard, mm-hmm. that they can make the decision.
And that's the key. It's the word of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's God speaking to us through that means, even if it's through another person or it's just, you know, even a paraphrased memory. It's not word for word memorized in a certain, you know, translation or something, but, you know, even just that idea of it, a principle, and it comes to mind. The Holy Spirit brings it up at certain times and, you know, certain key moments. And you're right. You'll be more in tune, more willing to listen. The volume is turned up in your head, so to speak.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And you know, I guess I can't say enough, you know, getting away from the distractions is huge. And that's the benefit of CAM right there.
Yes.
There are a lot of other environments that you can hear the Word of God, but there's very few that eliminate the distractions like a CAM setting does. And on top of it, it really is a fun time.
It is.
Like kids, it's good to go to CAM. Like, it is a really fun time.
We need to learn that we can, as Christians, we don't have to only be serious in doing this work all the time.
Yes.
It's great to just have good, clean fun.
It is.
With each other. And just live life. We live life. You know, we don't want to compartmentalize Christianity. It is all of life.
It is.
Even our fun, our recreation. So it kind of teaches them that too. And, you know, plus, you know, the future, a lot of these kids, you know, they kind of grow up and they can be workers. They can work at camp. And then you think about the type of guy or girl that will dedicate a summer or some weeks of a summer for free. Now, there's other camps that'll pay a little bit or something.
Here it's
free. You know, that it's at least low pay. They could get paid more anywhere else, you know.
Most camps don't pay it
that,
a lot.
That type of person, though, would be a great relationship to build, you know.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing where people, you know, get married from people they get to know. You're serving side by side. You see them in all sorts of high-pressure situations. So you get to know the real them.
Yeah.
You know.
Without makeup.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's intense, low sleep, you know. And you see how they work around other people when they're tired. And, I mean, you know, I have personal experience with that. So, you know, I found my wife at camp. Mm-hmm. That is not the only reason I love the camp ministry, but
certainly is a perk.
I was working at camp when my wife came and counseled for us 1 year. And, you know, at the end of the camp, I decided, you know what, this checks all my boxes. And so we, I basically asked her to get married kind of after a couple weeks of camp. So, and it worked out. So married 13
that's
years
that's the whole
now.
Story. No more details, right?
Yeah, pretty much it. Pretty much it. So, you know, I knew what I was looking for and she was it.
Sure.
She went, what else is there?
That's awesome.
For? And so, 13 years now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty good.
Love it. So I'm a big fan of camp. I love it. When I speak, and I've not only done that, I've worked at some camps too. I wish I'd gone to more camp as a kid. I went to 1 year once, just as a camper, and it was a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. It really was. But and then I worked at them for a while, and then began to speak at them. So last year, junior camp again, I was able to be a counselor, and I always make the I say that's harder work. That's harder work, and there's a lot of, you know, unpleasantries or maybe even frustrations that can happen. But at the end of the day, you are getting a much bigger reward out of it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
There was two boys I was able to lead to the Lord by the end of the week in my own cabin last year. So that was an amazing thing. Usually as a speaker, I don't get that privilege. Mm-hmm. Not usually. They'll tell me later, hey, this many people, you know, trusted in Christ or made decisions or, you know, something like that. And, you know, almost like I get credited with it. And that's not how that works. But it's usually the counselors.
You don't have notches on your belt?
I'm not wearing that belt today, but yeah. But yeah, it's usually the counselors, you know, and there can be staff people or whatever too, but those are the ones that are usually getting that fruit and things and doing that work. And it's a wonderful situation.
The rewards of counseling at camp are unbelievable, mm-hmm. right? Like it is so phenomenal getting to counsel young people at camp, and yeah, it can wear you out,
Right.
It's not for everybody.
It's not year-round work.
and it's not for everybody. You know, not everybody's cut out to be a camp counselor. Yeah. I mean, personally, I think every Christian should do it at least 1 year. Like, you learn so much.
Because you take those skills back home.
You do.
You should, anyways. You know, that's the idea. Is you're learning how to make disciples, sharing the gospel and teaching them the word to be like Christ. And you do this in this high-pressure situation where there's all these people depending on you. You're up early. You're up early. You're up late, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you expend lots of energy throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're just sitting there. You know, I mean, I know every camp runs differently, but like here, I mean, you're with your campers all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great because you're building relationships.
Yeah. It really.
And you're generally caring and interest in the campers. And, man, you know.
You have a greater impact that way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So then you get back home and it's like, now I can sit across from somebody in a coffee shop, just one person, and in a casual environment, and I have a drink, you know, that I enjoy, and I can just talk. You know, it's like, man, I can do this. I did that in summer. This is nothing now. You know?
Yeah, right. You know, and I can't just explain. And I know you'd have words to explain how awesome it is to work with these young people that come and work at camp. You know, we have, I don't know, it's like 35, 40 staff here. Mm-hmm. And every one of them is volunteer. They all come here unpaid. They take off a couple of weeks of work or school, whatever they're doing. A lot of these kids, you know, they're trying to save for college or buy a car or whatever. And they take off these 2 weeks and they come here and work at camp. And they volunteer and they give their time. Because they care, you know, they care about these young people coming. Camp, in a lot of the cases, camp has made a difference in their life, and they want to see other people have that same experience. And you know, for the camp director, it's just such a blessing to be with these young folks and serving alongside of them. And I mean, the camp environment lends itself to that, so that. You got myself, you know, I'm a director. I've been working at camps for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And most of our, I think all of our staff, except for like our senior staff, are younger than that, you know. You know, and Joel, he's the speaker. He's right here alongside of him. You know, we're hanging out, you know, he's hanging out with the staff, with the campers. And you bring all these people in together.
Yeah.
We're serving God together. We're ministering with the campers together. We're having fun with the campers together.
Mm-hmm.
And you create this family environment.
Yes.
And you know what? By the end of the week, all of a sudden, you start seeing these kids, stuff starts clicking in their heads. You know, they got away from all the noise long enough. They're out here. The Word of God's infiltrating their hearts. And you're building relationships with them. And all of a sudden, you know, about Thursday, they start opening up. And they say, you know what? I got a few things. Let's get right. And they start coming to you. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be me. It could be the speaker. Any one of our staff. You know, we go through all kinds of training. Hey, this is how we counsel kids. You know, if someone comes, you know. Yeah. And it's just awesome, you know.
Right. You know, like you said, your main purpose is training workers, Christian workers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even as a speaker, I like to spend time with the kids. And but I like to spend time with the staff, too,
yeah,
and the counselors.
For sure.
I try to pour into them because they need it and they grow, too. Everyone does. That's what's beautiful. Everybody grows. And so just camaraderie of just try to join games here and there and just see someone off by themselves, just talk to them a little bit and just, you know, lighten up their day, you know, a bit and encourage them. And, you know, sometimes it's all it takes and then just being available. And someone might come up to you and say, hey, I had a question, you know.
Yeah, and maybe it's not just
awesome opportunity there.
Maybe it's not just some giant sin issue in life, right? Like, sometimes you're just like talking theology, you know, I got a question. You know, these kids are growing in their faith, especially some of the staff kids, you know, they're you know, they're mature in their faith, they're growing the faith, they're wanting to serve and give back, you know, but they're still growing, right? And so having speakers here and available, man, you know, they come and talk and chat, and mm-hmm. and it's just a great opportunity. So
multifaceted ministry here. I think camp's wonderful. I'm going to a couple other camps after this, so if this post July 1st, then that would be at the very beginning over at Camp Manitoumi, Peoria, Illinois. That's a family camp, great place. Then right after that would be Whispering Cedars in Nebraska. I forget what town that's. It's like Genoa, Fullerton. I know those are right next. There's all those
kind of like the eastern side of Nebraska.
Yeah, the northern. Yeah, up there a little bit, I think. And trying to remember exactly. I can't quite remember. But
had some friends who've gone there.
It's another wonderful place, and that's another junior week.
And there's a lot of great camps out there.
Yeah, there is tons.
Yep. And what's great about camps is we're not in competition with each other.
Correct.
You know, we've met so many people that have worked at camps over the years, and they're all just awesome. Camp people are some of the funnest people to be around.
And in different ways, they all have different nuances, and some are more rustic than others, and some attract a different crowd than others, which is wonderful. Yep. It's kind of like how people are. Like, I can't reach every single person in the world. You can't either. But we have our own little circle that we can reach.
Yep, for sure.
And that's kind of how the camps are.
They are.
So we don't fight against each other, and it's okay to be different. In fact, it's great to be different because you'll reach another group.
Yeah, different is even better. Well, of course, talking about camp people, the most more different.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're here in disguise.
Sometimes you got to be a little bit of a nut to do a great job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, the goofier you are, the better you'll fit in at camp. So.
That's right. All right, I think that was a great episode on camp.
Yeah.
You got anything else to add?
Not really. Yeah. You should come to camp next year.
Yeah. Come on over to camp. Hey, you can always get a hold of us. And they're always looking for great help with Solid Rock. And you heard it. It's a lot about training. And so great opportunity to even, just ask questions and to figure things out. And, I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know how God's designed me, his purposes for me. Well, come on over. What's it going to hurt? Just a week or two, even. I mean, that's all you're doing is two weeks, a junior week, a teen week.
Just 2 weeks.
Yeah, come on over.
2 weeks in the staff training. So, if you're saying, I want to serve, but I'm not really sure how God's gifted me, we'll try to plug you in somewhere, and we'll start you off, just kind of wherever we think is the best fit, and we'll go from there. So
down in Bonaparte, Iowa.
Yeah.
So you'd have to look, most people have to use Google Maps on that or whatever.
Yeah.
Not too many people know where that is off the top of their heads.
No. Van Buren County. It's not super populated.
But a beautiful area.
Oh, it's fantastic down here. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
So I think that about wraps it up. You got any questions, comments, anything you don't like, send it to him. If it's anything positive, I'll take it.
Sure.
And, it's kind of the way it is. Check out our website, Brains Bibles. BrainsandBibles.com.
Yep.
And thinklikechrist.org or solidrockiowa.com.
Oh, by the time this launches, my website will be redesigned.
Yeah.
And so it'll be technically BrainsandBibles.org, but BrainsandBibles.com will still route to that. So it'll be the same thing.
You're becoming .org, huh?
So either I got both now.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Every so often I get an email, hey, you should buy here. And so the domain.
Go for it.
I should.
Yeah.
And it's just money. So, speaking of that, if you would like to donate
to any one of our ministries, that'd be wonderful. Yes.
So, anyway, that just about wraps it up. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed it, and we didn't talk too long.
Maybe get a blowgun.
It is getting towards the evening. The blowgun was fantastic. I cannot wait to shoot that tomorrow at something. And you guys all have a good night.